So, hey everyone, welcome to Create Your Years Dot In podcast. This is Christmas Specials with Michael Robbins, and today we are going to discuss about Burglar's Christmas. It's a story of a return of prodigal son, where hunger. There's a powerful quote from the story: "Is hunger is powerful incentive to introspection." Before we discuss all things about Burglar's Christmas, welcome to the show, Michael Robbins.
Thank you for having me on again. I appreciate it. And good to see you, AJ. And thank you to your listeners for taking time out of their busy holidays and enjoying listening to me and your sound effects. Great
Okay.
job.
Thank you. Thank you. That's the one thing I want to give this Christmas to the audience is the effect, the feel when they listen to it. They actually feel like, okay, something Christmassy is happening here. Today this is a kind of quick catch up thing. Where we are going to discuss more about the life, how people go through it, and any experiences that you've been gone through, how you deal with success and failures. Because Burglar's Christmas is not just a Christmas story; it's more about life and how life happens, and life is not fair all the time. So this was a quick catch up; it was not planned. But last moment, I thought like we did a 30 minutes interview, and I thought like, what can we do with Burglar's Christmas? Not focusing more on you, but your point of view on life, more on
Right.
success and failures, and how you deal with that. I thought that would be the bigger thing that we can do this Christmas. Specials in this Christmas specials. So before we jump on the topics, to all listen, Burglar's Christmas is I'm just reading out the lines here. It's a story which was written in 1896 by Willa Cather. It was a short story focusing on it's a story of love, forgiveness, and uneasy life set in Chicago. It's a story of William, okay? So William is a guy who's the lead, who's the main cast here, and he considers stealing both to satisfy his hunger and to find excitement in his dull life. It's kind of story of a guy who is living on the street and desperate for good meal to eat. It appears that he had a decent life earlier, but experienced several failures that have caused him to be where he is now. He comes across large houses, but that's the thing. I was just reading out some line. I just want to explain a point that he had a very good living. You know, it was not a poor kid who's doing this thing. Rich kid, prodigal son. His father and mother have some big amount of cash and money and financial situation good going on. The moment he left the house, he did his college, went out on his own. Every single time he went on, he failed miserably in every single thing. And after that, he actually took a decision to actually now one thing left. How can I get money to live? Robbing people. Yes, desperate for food.
Totally
Like,
desperate.
yeah. And I now want to know, what are your views on the whole story, Burglar's Christmas?
Well, obviously he went downhill in a major way, and especially being where he ended up in Chicago when it's winter time there, it's brutal, it's cold, and I could only imagine what it would be like to be homeless, like many people are today. Being on the streets in the cold, you have a friend with you. You guys have done things in the past, probably not many good things, and you're desperate and you're hungry. And it's that time of year where you used to know what a good Christmas is like. And now that's all been taken away from you because of your decisions, your hopelessness that you feel inside. And, you know, like we mentioned, desperation. And he definitely is at that point where he's just so down on himself because of probably his choices or his, you know, things that he's done, obviously, as we find out later in the story, some more specifics. But it is something to think about how you could end up if you are not successful dealing with your failures in life. So.
Oh, wow. That's a very good take on it. And today is all about how life is, you know, basically. If you don't fight for it, it's gonna kill you, and it's gonna make you suffer very, very badly. So now, as we all know, the storyline of Burglar's Christmas. Have you seen such similar storyline? Not exactly what happened with William, but similar situations when you were in the college and school days or growing up after like job and things. Have you seen something happen to people around you, like friends or colleagues, similar situations, anything related?
This is the kind of thing that you hear about after, you know, your life is doing pretty well and you're feeling pretty good about yourself. Let's say, you know, like after I graduated from college and things are going pretty good, I've got a job. And then you hear a story from back home about maybe a friend of yours and about what's going on in their life, and then you're going, wow, I kind of have it pretty good compared to them. You know,
Yeah.
for instance, high school sweethearts, they got, you know, pregnant together. The girl got pregnant, and now they're desperate. They're trying to, you know, make it, you know, they both have jobs and they're desperate. And there's a lot of that word is you're hearing that a lot lately. And yeah, you know, growing up, sure, I think we all have those kind of stories from people and friends that we know. And if you're close to them, you try to help them if you can. If you're part of their world, if there's anything you can do, you will try to help, I would hope. So.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Got it. Got it. Here's a powerful quote from the story is hunger is powerful incentive to introspection. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll be honest. I have not been in that desperate situation where I was hungry and on the streets, but I can say that being without food and being, you know, out on the street by yourself, you probably have a different look on life. And looking in on yourself, you know, whenever you point your finger, there's four pointing back at you. So you have a lot to think about when you're all by yourself. You're trying to control your destiny, your life, and you can't. So hunger is causing you to look in on yourself because you're focused not only on trying to get food and trying to do things to get the food, but also looking back at what caused you to be here, which is what he's doing. And man, that's a hard look, especially that time of year, especially that type of year from the life he used to have.
Yes. Yep. Thank you for your wonderful answer to that quote, your views. Now, I focus on the answer that focus on this point, like in early days, now in 2020, not in 2022, in early days, you know, where you were like growing up, not knowing what the world is all about, you know, just figuring out stuff and all things in the early phase, 16 to 20, 25, I guess. So how would you define success and how would you define success and failure in early days of your life?
I would define success and failure as to moments of where you are and comparing it to where your parents are and comparing it to where your friends are. So where you are, you look back at along with your friends, kind of see what they're doing and go, you know what? I really want to be like them, or I want to be like my parents. I want to, you know, I want to work hard. I want to, you know, own a home, maybe get married, you know, that kind of thing. You look at goals. That's what I always did, is I looked at goals of things I want to do and be a part of. And in the early days, I think you can just basically, I think when you're young, and he was young, I think he was
Yes,
24.
yes.
When you're young, you look at things a little differently, a little more selfishly. So when you're young, you're kind of selfish. You're not thinking about others. So your vision is like this. You're
Yeah.
thinking about what's mine, what can I get, what can I do, you
Yeah.
know? And when you're young, you look at other people around you. You covet what you see, and you want that, or you want to be like that. And it's tough when you're younger. And then looking back when you're older, like now, going, you know, well, maybe I should have done that differently. And how would I turn out? You start thinking about what would happen if you did something different or you go a different path. So, success and failure in the early days of life, I think compared to when you're older, it's minor, simple stuff, unless it's a major thing that happened, which I didn't really have. You know, I didn't have many people dying in my family or anything like that. I was an only child, so I didn't have that kind of thing. But some people have a lot of deaths in their family when they're young, and I think that would probably change your world if, let's say, your grandmother died, or your grandfather died, which mine died after I got out of college, so I wasn't so young. But yeah, I think
Gotcha.
the early days, success and
Gotcha.
failure,
It's
you're
like
looking at
getting
others.
things, looking at
Yeah.
others, comparing how good are we doing, what's going bad with us. And
Right.
I want that. I want that. I want that.
Yeah,
That may be the point of
unfortunately.
view in early days, early days. But now, switching back to 2022 for you, how would you define success in today's state for you?
Success, I think for me, and I think for me, it's dictated about where I am currently. And of course, I always think where my parents ended up and what they did. But when I look at my world and about how successful My success and what I'm doing, I'm happy. I'm satisfied. I'm doing what I love. I'm with the person that I love, and I have a daughter, and we have a nice house in California, and things are going really well. I cannot, honestly, I cannot complain. Could I have more money? Could I be more successful with my, the job that I love, which is doing, voiceover stuff and voiceover and audiobooks and all of that? Sure, that would be great. But, I do what I do, and if I can get better at it, even better. I try. I'm doing that all the time. So, I think the way I am today, my success, I think I'm living my success personally. I'm happy. I am satisfied. I'm 50, I think 56. I'm 56 this year.
You forget every single
Well,
time.
I try not to think about it, but then I look at myself in the
Oh
camera
man,
and I'm trying this
you're
beard
like,
thing and I see
yeah,
gray and I'm reminded, yeah, I'm
like,
older. I don't have a brain. My brain doesn't think old. Okay, because 56 is,
That's the thing.
not that.
Your brain
Yeah.
should be younger than the age you are,
I
or
feel that
be
it is.
actively more working. If even if you grow old, why I laughed because last time if you see the clip, you did the same thing. I guess I'm 50 or 50. The
Well,
same.
I don't talk about my age all the time. I mean, come on. You're young. You can talk, oh, I'm 37 or whatever, however young
56,
you are.
56, you're 56.
So,
So,
yeah.
there's one additional question that I came to know after listening to you is, as you do, like, initial days to 24, 25, 16 to 25, it's all about what I can get, how should I get it, I want this, this. And after now, the way you are leading the life is the success for you. You know, the way you're changing the living and making it better, that's success for you in today's date in 2022. Making
Sure.
your life better, family's life better, doing what you are doing, that's success for you. Like, yes, I can do it. I can afford it. I can spend the time and make it happen. That's success for you. How this ch changed, like when you've like when you thought like, okay, this is changing for me, the definition of success from 25, I guess, to in between that period, 10, 15 years. What was the age or when you started thinking differently from what were you thinking in early days?
Probably in my mid-30s, early to mid-30s, somewhere in there, life started changing into a more adult direction with career and other things going on in my life personally. I think that's when things got a little more serious, and then I had my daughter, not me personally, but my wife at the time had my daughter. So I think that was a monumental time when you realize the birth of a child that you have to be
Becoming a
responsible
father.
for. Oh yeah, I'll never forget that day when I took that daughter of mine in the car from the hospital on the first day and put the car seat in and put her in. I drove so careful that day.
Oh.
So yeah, I think that was one of the big changes in my life was
What
having a
was
child.
that feeling like of life when you had a daughter? What was that feeling
Oh, it
at
was
that
amazing.
day?
It was amazing. I just was in awe of seeing the creation that, my wife at the time and I had both gone through and what we had done. It's really a marvel, to be involved so closely with a new life that you both had part in making. And so, yeah, that was huge.
Like,
That was monumental. I would say that was a definitely a turning point in the mindset of
mindset.
seriousness.
So I just want to know, like, were you shivering at this moment when that moment, like, the ha happened? Were you more becoming more careful about your own health and life when that child was in your hands? Like, what was going through your mind at that point? I'm just getting into this point. I don't know why, but I'm just curious.
Well, because I hadn't been, that was my first child that I was involved with and cr helped create, call it a co-producer. I was co-producing my child. And I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's like you had something to do with this. And it's like you hear about it. You're around other kids with your friends. You go to you let's say you go to a party at a friend's house and they just had a new child in their world and you don't really know about it until you live it. And I think that pathway can really lead you in directions you've never been before. So you're kind of working your way through it. So in addition to the other responsibilities you already had, you have this responsibility. And yeah, I can see how people get desperate When they have to care for somebody extra in their life that was
Yes.
just born and can do nothing for themselves, and you have to do everything for it. And that is very sobering.
Yep.
It's probably a good word, meaning it just wakes you up and you're like on full alert and you're like, wow, this has really happened, and it's a big deal. It
Yep.
really is. It is truly life-changing.
It's kind of, if you're not ready, you took it on yourself. That's life now. You took it, you took the challenge on yourself to feel that that child now. But if you're ready and you're planning, I mean, that's just a really different experience altogether that I got from you. Like, it's totally more awareness, more careful, like more generous, more kind, more focused, and like makes you more focus on caring a life that you're going to lead in coming time. You want that to happen because that's first time that has happened to you.
Yes.
Okay, we got something different here. I don't know why,
Yeah, I don't.
but
Yeah.
yeah, just focusing on the life, we focus on the birth of the child. Okay, we were on the success and
It
failure.
all really kind of comes together. You can learn from either
Yeah.
way, right?
Yes. So we were talking about success and failures of people, human beings. Now I just want to know, what's your take on what should humans do when they fail? How should they react? What should be their mental state of thinking?
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
That is a tough one. I think what you are truly made of comes out when you fail. And it could be something as simple as you forgot something and it affected your day, something as simple as that. Like, let's say I forgot my key card, so I can't get into the office. And I
Yeah.
feel like, wow, that really started my day off not good. Something as simple and trivial as that. That's a mini failure. That's like a little, it's a blip on the radar. Another failure would be, hey, driving, I'm driving and I make a mistake and I end up in a car accident. And that starts a domino effect of, oh wow, I have a several meeting important meetings, and now that starts a domino effect. Well, I have to cancel that and I have to do this and I have to do that. And you'll look at that as a failure, because maybe if it's your fault, well, yeah, you failed. That's a modern failure. You could have so many failures in a day. At the end of that day, you look back and go, wow, I'm a total failure. I'm having a crappy day. I did a lot of wrong things. But you know what? In the reality of it, tomorrow, 8 hours, 12 hours later, it is a new day, and you can start kind of fresh. And that's the beauty of it, I guess, time. And as you get older, truly time does move faster. So in his he's young. He's 24 years old in this little story. And yeah, he's already
Gotcha.
done a lot of things, and he's definitely failed. And realizing that is definitely puts you probably in a worse state of mind.
What I can add to that too is, like, I'm not in position of sharing what humans should do, and because I am in a position where I can share that, what I think of failure is completely different from what you or other people think what failure is to them. The thing is, what is my failure keeps on changing every month or every year or every 5 years. Today, what I think is was failure. In 5 years, I will not think that was my failure because the point of view changes every single time as humans evolve. So all I can add up to this is, all you can be is more self-aware of yourself, more focus on that, why it did not work out for me, and how your body or how your mind takes up things and how you think of things. Be self-aware, and why it didn't work out can be the solution to change your failure into success. So that's my take on how humans should react. That's my simple take. I'm not something where who should you, but these are the kind of generous advice that everyone gives, being self-aware all the time and why it didn't
Try to
work
be
out.
positive.
Yes.
Try to be positive. That really does help. I try to be positive. I wake up in the morning. I'm not grumpy. I normally have a very good outlook on life, on the world. I start off the day very, very much in a good mood, and it takes a lot to get me upset. And I'm a glass half full person. Try to be. It's not
But
easy.
it's not, it's like, now for me, it's like every day what I've imagined I wanted to, I'm just taking a step forward to make it happen for every single day of my life rather than
Sure.
losing that. So that's an effort that I'm adding up. Now, where we focus on is your thoughts on importance of time utilization in our 20s.
Oh, that's a good one. You're young, and time when you're young moves very slow. And sometimes when you're busy, you don't realize that time can be move very fast if you're busy. And I think some people get lost in dumb things that take up their time. And I think an example would be social media, for instance. Looking at your phone takes up a lot of time, and you could have done so much more within that time. And
Yes.
a lot of young people, hell, I get sidetracked too, looking at stuff. I try not to, but it's sometimes, YouTube, Instagram, all
Yeah.
that stuff that you're looking at and you're soaking in. Oh my God, it's 45 minutes later. Oh, I got to go to the others. So yeah, time utilization in your 20s, I think when you're young, you kind of don't have that.
Yeah.
And they certainly don't teach it in school, especially nowadays. I don't think they ever taught time utilization. I think what teaches you time utilization is actually using it in reality in work.
Yeah.
Your first job when you're young,
Yeah.
that teaches you time
Yeah.
utilization. You have to be there on time. If you're not on time, there are consequences. School, obviously. You've got 45, 55 minutes in a class, and then you've got 5 minutes to get to the next class. That kind of that's like your training wheels
Yeah.
for time utilization. And kids kind of get that, and especially when you go to college, it's even stricter because you could get failed if you don't show up for a class. If your ponytail professor says, "Well, you weren't in class, so you're done." So,
Yes.
but in high school, you get breaks. In school, you get breaks, but college, it's reality. But your job is even the most real
Most.
thing because,
Yes.
hey, you don't show up, you don't get paid. Simple.
Got it.
Pretty simple.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for your valuable advice on the questions and your point of views. Now, here's the last one I want to ask is how do you react when you fail? What's your
Well,
reaction?
I guess it depends on what it is.
Yes, true.
Many times I give it the silent treatment, and I think about it, and I just like kind of go quiet, and then I go, "Oh God, what did I just say, or what did I just do? Okay, how do I fix it?" I like to fix stuff, so I like to fix problems. So if I don't have a solution, I kind of go, okay, and then I try to talk through it. And work through it and work through the problem. And failure is a tough word. When you fail, that means there is a consequence to your action. And sometimes the consequence is not so good. So, but many times it's your fault. So you kind of gotta own up to it. That is hard.
Yeah, to
Sometimes
own
that is
up.
very hard. It's reality. It's hard.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much, voiceover artist, our special guest, Michael Robbins, for being such a wonderful guest for our Christmas specials in 2022. This was very special for me because this is our just second year of growing up the show, and I'm really happy to have you on board. This was our interview, and this was the last interview of Christmas specials with you. We didn't plan this. It came after I gone through the story, and I thought, like, what just to make it more special, more valuable for the audience, like, how are they taking up success, failures, and whole life into totality, and what's our guest's point of view, as now he's leading a very good life at this moment. So how was he in his 20s and all kind of things? Thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest. This was a catch-up interview for Burglar's Christmas with Michael Robbins, and make sure you go and check out now. It's already streaming, but make sure you listen. Burglar's Christmas, Sins, Love, and Forgiveness. It's a story which was written in 1896 and now produced on CreatureUse.in podcast, which features our guest voiceover artist Michael Robbins. Thank you. Thank you for your valuable time.
Thank you, AJ. Thank you for having me on once again, and enjoy the story. There's lots to get from it, as you well just learned about. So,
Yes,
thank you. I
yes.
hope you get something out of it, and I know I did. And certainly, you have a lot of questions about it, and it's definitely thought-provoking for sure. So, take care and enjoy. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. Stay tuned. Stay safe. Merry Christmas again. And make sure you listen to CreatureUse.in podcast on the loop whenever you're traveling, walking, or going on a walk, sleeping. Make sure to tune into the stories on CreatureUse.in podcast. Merry Christmas again. Thank you. Now streaming Burglar's Christmas.